Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we got Rick Bucher coming up at noon today. We'll talk with him about the Mavs and the entire state of the NBA, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on in the NBA right now that we needed to discuss as well. And the first thing I think for us at the moment, Kevin, and I hope people truly understand how much I respect Kevin's NBA mind. He's been in love with the NBA for a long time, but even more than that, he starts in the college world. And whenever we would do the NBA draft coverage, that was one of the things I always knew I could throw to you, and you knew, like, that weird guy from Eastern Connecticut, University of Connecticut, Mississippi.
That's
I was
a
like,
great
nobody
school.
Even knew that college existed.
Great school.
I almost went there.
Yeah, I know, but then you chose Mizzou.
I sure did. What a great choice.
That was a good decision, Shippy.
Thanks.
So because of the journalism degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because
everybody has those.
You know the college game so well that it really does lend, okay, I knew what this guy did then and what he can be in the NBA. So you always have those thoughts, and I really appreciate that. And I hope the Tolos out there can learn to love that part of you as well, Kevin, even if they don't love all of you.
Oh, that's fair.
You're a hard man to love, though, Kevin.
That's fair.
But the Mavericks right now, they lost Dwight Powell to an Achilles injury, and this stinks for him. It really, like, you heard last night, Luka was like, he didn't deserve this. And, you know, it's nothing anybody else did. He was dribbling to the basket, and then you saw it rupture. Bam. But you have to start thinking forward because, Kevin, this is a playoff team.
Yep.
And one of the things was that guy right there was one of Rick Carlisle's misfit toys that probably wouldn't be anybody on anybody else's team. But here in Dallas, here in DFW, became a guy that fans started to love. And that Rick Carlisle knew he could rely on. And now I wonder, do they have to reach outside in order to add something to this team? And are there going to be any options out there? 877-881-1053, what can the Mavs do?
Now, I know initially this is going to restart the drum for Andre Drummond. And I get that. Then I saw Bassick mentioning, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, which... Maybe, I don't know if that would even be allowed, if it would be something as simplistic as trading them back their second round draft pick, which will be the first or second pick in the second round. That might actually not be allowed by league rules. But, you know, I wonder about Willie Cauley-Stein. I do wonder about Andre Drummond. I saw some people throwing it out there for, you know, Blake Griffin. I don't necessarily think that is going to fit the need. And then obviously you've got some injury concerns there.
Is Willie Cauley-Stein an underachiever?
Yes.
All right. So that's my thing is I don't want...
He never developed any semblance of a real offensive game.
I don't want to. And from the 214, you just said Powell couldn't make an NBA team. No, I didn't.
I didn't say
that. But I think that Powell was an overachiever. And you got the best out of him night in and night out. I think that was the thing about him. And as much as respect as I have for Rick Carlisle, guys that are underachievers don't typically come here and become overachievers for him. I just, like, Lamar Odom was like, I don't want to have to do that anymore. Chandler Parsons was, I don't want to do that anymore. I understand he's in some injury situations, but that was a realistic thing. Yeah. Was he couldn't work here. And Rondo, I just think was like, all right, I've already got my championships. Why do I have to listen to you? So with Cauley-Stein, I understand the idea of wanting to draw the best out of a player, but I think he's an underachiever that went to a team that is now injured a lot and not achieving very well there either. So I'm out on him. I was totally in on bringing him off in the offseason, but now seeing what he's doing in Golden State is not giving me any, it's given me more pause than ever before. And maybe it's because they're bad, but I mean, he hasn't gotten any better himself. So what about Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, so I saw a couple of different people text in Aaron Gordon.
It's money. That's expensive.
Yeah, but not, believe it or not as expensive as you might think. So He makes like $20 million this year because I decided to check that. And then the next 2 years after that, he only makes like a tick under $35 million the next 2 years combined. I do kind of wonder about a couple of things with that. So first of all, Orlando at a robust 21-23 is in seventh place in the East because, as we've told you all along, both conferences have six good teams, and that's where it starts and ends. Sorry, Oklahoma City Thunder. And so, you know, they are in the playoff mix, so I wonder if they would want to trade away Aaron Gordon. I also have questions about what exactly is happening with Aaron Gordon this year, because it looked like, if you look at the last two seasons before that, it looked like he was breaking out, you know, like he went from 9 points, 12 points, and like he really looked like he was going to make a push to be an everyday, every game, 20-point scorer. It didn't quite get there. This year, man, he has slid back. So like his shooting percentages, especially from beyond the arc, have fallen off a freaking cliff. And so he's not having a great year. And I wonder,
are they trying to adjust him to a new type of game?
You know, that's a good question. And I also kind of wonder if he just is down on Orlando, maybe not advancing as quickly as, you know.
Down Orlando because he got involved in trade discussions last year and maybe got like, I thought I was more to this team than that.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I also kind of wonder if it's like, you know, the development of Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba hasn't gone quite according to plan. And, you know, like Jonathan Isaac, when Jonathan Isaac got drafted out of Florida State, I said, if you told me he would end up being the best player out of the lottery, I would believe that. If you told me he would wind up being the worst player out of the lottery, I would also believe that because he was just so unproven. And so now you're looking at a team and they still have Evan Fournier, which is like he's been a topic of conversation here with the Mavs for like 5 years or whatever. But
don't Google that name.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at it, it's Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, and then remember, they brought over Markel Fultz. And so you have a lot of young players that theoretically, if they all gelled or progressed a lot quicker, you would think that this team, especially with Fournier and Gordon going, would be a lot better than it actually is. But it's just not happening. And I wonder if he's just frustrated with a lack of development there.
All right. So I keep seeing this text into the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053. Again, this is why I love the Tolos, Kevin. They provide the opportunity to keep the conversation going. Fareed, the dog we need.
Kenneth Fareed?
Kenneth Fareed.
Is he even in the league right now? I know he played last year. Is he on a team right now?
He is. I do not see a team on him that he's on.
He last played for the Zhejiang Lions. The Zhejiang? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Slam Magazine is telling me he was released.
By them?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Although he was averaging 17-10 a game.
There you go. So I appreciate.
Mavericks could use that.
That's
and you know what? Maybe that's the option, Kevin. Maybe
and they
that's
call him the Manimal.
Maybe it's a, maybe it's an out of bounds option. What about Marcus Morris? What about a player like that? And Kevin, I think here's
he would be significantly cheaper from an asset standpoint.
Here's the other question we have to really ask is, do we need a replicant of Powell? There is no guy that does exactly what he does. Gordon's as close, I think, as you can get. But he also, as Jared Sandler said, has a lot of like 2-point turnaround fadeaways. And he does that a little too often.
He's a dreadful 3-point shooter, but he's also much more offensively proficient.
But is there maybe, instead of saying, okay, we got to find a kind of big guy, is there another option that would add scoring to this team? And here it is, Bradley Beal, make the deal. Are there other guys?
Hey, look, we put together, or maybe the week before, the Bradley Beal trade package. I would flip out about that. And I know some people will be like, yeah, but that doesn't really help you in the front court. Okay, fair enough. But I keep hearing how we have wave after wave of depth, and we have a couple other front court players, especially if Kristaps is good to go. But I think the concern would be if, you know, Powell is out for the year and then Kristaps has an injury fallback. Like, what is your wave after wave of front court looking like? And Beal doesn't solve that.
Can Luka play 4?
Theoretically, yes, but the thing that you're going to run into problematically there then is if you're not, unless you're shifting defensively, which of course you can, is you're gonna be banging him up a lot more. And for the person that you want running your offense, it can happen. I just don't know if that's like my number one thing that I want.
Right, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I know that means a lot of Maxey and Boban. In addition, and you have to have healthy.
Boban will not play more than 15 minutes a game. I just want to warn everybody that who wants to see more Boban.
But can you get more out of Boban, Kevin?
I mean,
can he score 50? That's the question I want.
Probably not. How many minutes a game is he playing right now? Because he's not going to be playing more than 15, 16, 17 minutes.
If he scored 50, though,
yeah,
would you be the happiest person?
I mean, I feel like he would be the most happy person.
Dude. Do they offer Boban tea at the AAC?
No, it's Bobo tea.
Different thing.
The last night at that game, I've never heard more excitement than when Boban got the ball. Yeah. And it wasn't even, he didn't even have to do anything. Just the simple idea.
It's because everybody loves John Wick 3.
Yes, they do. And they even had the J.J. Barea John Wick 3 thing go on. Just the simple fact, though, that there's a possibility that Boban can do something special at his height and length, the way that he looks. Everybody freaks out that Boban might do something. Guess what, Kevin? He delivered. He delivered, and people went insane last night. I want more Boban.
From the 972, Mavs also don't really have assets for any of this. That is where I will disagree. Is, you know, for some of them, sure. But if you're talking about, you know, maybe Morris. Obviously, you could pick up Fareed, I guess, we've learned. I think they have the assets for some of these. We put together a package for Bradley Beal that would be, you know, it would be difficult, but I think you're at least in the ballpark. And if you're in the ballpark for Bradley Beal, I think you can figure some things out with Aaron Gordon. I think that the second-round pick that they have from the Golden State Warriors that right now would be lined up to be pick 31 or 32, That's a pretty valuable asset, and you're getting to the point where you might not want to do it, but if you had to trade Tim Hardaway Jr., I think he's picking up a little steam as a viable asset. I think Jalen Brunson is a viable asset. You probably no longer, originally when I put this trade together, it would be you could either pick Powell or Kleba, and that's probably out the window now because you're not in a position, especially if you pick up a guard, that you would want to send Kleba away, because then I'm really like, well, what are we doing in the front court?
Is there a team you don't want to see this guy traded to? Derrick Rose. And I know that sounds ridiculous because Derrick Rose's knees are made of dry breadsticks.
Yeah,
but,
Lakers.
Huh?
Lakers.
All right. So there was a thing on the Big Lead of three potential trade destinations, Kevin. One of them was the Sixers. And I think that would be interesting with Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons likes the ball and doesn't like to shoot threes, but maybe he could be an off guard there. Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Lakers. I mean, like, I understand that he's been broken time and time again, but if you look last year at Minnesota and now bouncing around in, I think, Detroit, right? He's looked pretty good. His three-point shot, especially this year, leaves much to be desired. But in terms of getting to the basket and shooting from the field, he's been good. He's been a very efficient scorer the last couple of years. So, yes, I would hate the idea of seeing Rose go to either one of the Los Angeles teams. I really would dislike that.
The 817, you're insane thinking pick 31 is valuable asset.
I'm not.
And what is the value of it? Like it's not a number one pick. It's not a number five pick.
Well, sure. But if you've noticed the trend in the NBA draft over the last probably 5 to 7 years, there has been way less trading of first-round picks, especially even in the 20s. Remember the time, especially when Mark Cuban got here, you could just buy whatever pick you wanted in the 20s for $3 million. But with the difference to the collective bargaining agreement and the changes to the salary cap and everything like that and people loading up on stars, people value those first-round picks more than ever before, and they value the back half of that first round more than ever before. And if you have what is essentially like a bonus first-round draft pick, we always talk about if you have the first pick in the next round, like you can almost sandwich it back to the first round, but it also doesn't come with any guarantees. So like if you go in the second round, you don't have to guarantee the same things that you have in the first round. So yes, no, I'm not insane, and people around basketball will tell you absolutely People used to just give away second round draft picks and to a certain extent give away first round draft picks. That is not the case anymore. That is a useful asset. Is it the most valuable asset? No. But something like THJ, Brunson, and the second round pick, that'll get you something for sure.
I don't agree with you about you not being insane, though. I do think you're insane, but that's in different fair. Ways, Kevin. All right, tonight, Kevin is right here at this station. Time to party with Eric Nadell. By the way, we've hiked with Eric Nadell before.
Yes, we did.
It's fascinating to be around that man. So if you get the opportunity, do it. Do it tonight. You can get intimate, up close and personal.
We're going hiking?
With Nadell tonight. No, he's going to be here at the
station.
There's
not a lot of mountains here.
No, it's just a studio.
I can find one, though,
downstairs,
maybe.
That we're really excited about this little party.
With we got a rock climbing wall.
Jared Sandler. No, there's no rock climbing wall.
Okay.
It's Jared Sandler and Eric Nadell, Nick Solak, Kevin, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Be here tonight, 5:30. The doors are opening. We want y'all to come hang out with us. We're looking forward to it. These are the great things that we get to do. These very delicate things the Tolos get to come in and hang out with. It's going to be an awesome event. So come in and hang out. Absolutely free, by the way. You don't even have to register
for
anything.
How much does it cost?
Free.
What?
Just show up to the building and hang out with Rangers players because Ranger season is on the way. Spring training gets started very soon.
With the K&C masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where Bill Belichick has more low-key swag than any other human in the NFL. Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We got Rick Bucher coming up at noon to talk about the NBA, the Mavericks, and what they need to do. But right now, it's time to go around the best NFL headlines right now. And I know Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have tried thrusting themselves right there in the middle of it all, Kevin.
Weird word.
But let's go around and dip into some gridiron gravy.
We start with, man, we got to figure something out because yesterday the news was coming out that there was an alleged battery incident with Antonio Brown and his trainer. Now, the USA Today reported this morning that Antonio Brown has barricaded himself inside his house.
Yeah,
and
felt that.
Yeah, and I don't know if barricaded is too dramatic of a word or if he's just staying inside of his house and refusing to come out, but man, for somebody who we said needs to get some help, and at least there was a time where it was just petty nonsense, but if you look over the last couple of weeks, it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm genuinely concerned now for him and all of the people around him.
So, coming into this morning, Kevin, my question, and we were going to do a segment on it.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, we were talking about Delonte West. We were talking about Aaron Hernandez. At what point, and I even look at Kellen Winslow Jr.
Oh, my God, yes.
And actually, it was mostly my concern with Kellen Winslow Jr. and Aaron Hernandez. At what point is he a threat to other people?
Now. Like the last month.
In that Boston market.
And, like, we all kind of thought it was kind of funny to throw the gummy bears at the person.
The gummy bears?
The gummy things. Mm-hmm. All right? We thought that was funny.
Gummy dongs.
But we didn't take that seriously. Nobody got hurt, right? They were just yelled at.
I will tell you, I sort of took that seriously because, not because of that part, but because it was surrounding like a domestic dispute. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I was like,
but it came more of a story. It was more of a story about the gummy ding-dongs.
You're right.
You're right. But nobody's really been taking any of this seriously because they're just like, oh, he hasn't done anything real bad yet. But then they beat up a guy that he hired to move stuff into his house. Or he was around that. His trainer got involved in it. The people that are around him are not helping him stay out of trouble because the cops keep having to show up. And now he's barricading himself in his house.
So from the 682, anybody that's, quote, feeling sorry for Antonio Brown is dumb AF. I feel sorry to see this happen to a human. I'm not saying he hasn't made some horrible decisions along the way because it sounds like the way he treats people is fairly reprehensible in a couple of different spots.
Yeah,
but
he's been a bad dude.
Yeah, I still feel bad when you see someone, like, look, make no mistake about it. Antonio Brown is breaking down in front of all of us right now. And I do think that is sad.
Yeah.
And then somebody said from the 512, he clearly has CTE. From the 214, how is he allowed around children? That's a great question. I don't know.
The thing is, we don't truly know because he won't get help or he won't reach out to anybody to know exactly what is impairing his decision making. And that's the problem is does he need help?
Yes.
Will he ever do it on his own? And has he done anything that he needs to be committed for?
But. Yeah, because he's about to lose that decision, right?
Yes. And maybe that's maybe that's what he's saying is, I don't know what's wrong with me. And, you know, by acting out in the way that he's acting, I don't know what's wrong with me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to make the decisions for me. And maybe that's what he's going to need at some point. But, man, don't you want something to be done about it before something else actually happens? Before somebody else gets hurt?
I hate to say it like this, but let's all be honest. If you heard a story tomorrow morning that said Antonio Brown is dead,
I would not be surprised. And I'd be upset that we saw all this happening and nobody did anything, but even more so that he didn't do anything for himself either.
Yep. And I know some people will probably think that's over the top. I don't think it is. Like, if I find out in the morning he was dead, I would be like, golly, we all saw this coming. All right, let's move around to a couple of different things. The buzz is going into overdrive from a variety of sources that Philip Rivers' next stop will be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Would you like to see a quarterback competition between Jameis Winston and Philip Rivers?
Really? Should be?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in on that,
we
too.
We know who would win the kid competition.
Who's throwing more interceptions?
I mean, I'll always take Jameis.
He went 30-30.
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
How many did Rivers have this year?
I don't know. 26. let me look it up.
I don't, would there be a competition? Or can they not move on from Jameis Winston? Or
no, sure they can. And it sounds like Bruce Arians is like, hey, if I could win with him.
Oh, he had 20 interceptions.
Okay,
oh, see?
So 10 less.
That's a giant upgrade.
They might have made the playoffs. They had 10 less interceptions.
I think you're right about that.
Thank you.
This is Arians. He wants that Kurt Warner moment, right? Kurt Warner comes, you know, the old man comes in here. He's a savvy vet.
Look, I get that, but at this point, I think he wants anybody except for Jameis Winston. He literally said, if I can win with this quarterback.
I Choppy always brings up, he's like, I love Jameis Winston. And I'm like, what? How? And he's like, because he always forgets that he threw an interception. I'm like, yeah, and he'll try that throw again and throw another interception. He never learns.
You think it's deceiving to the defense during training camp? They're like, wow, we're really good. When they get to the regular season, like, oh, crap, he's been throwing it right to us every time.
We're going to have three All-Pros, and it's going to be amazing.
I think that's why Broadus got fooled on Malik Collins this year, because he was going up against Zach Martin, who was like, I'm hurt right now, and I'm giving about 50% during...
What are you doing?
Broadus admits it.
Zach Martin could be in the Hall of Fame.
Zach Martin could be in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean he wasn't injured this year. He's having off-season surgery right now.
Who do you think's more worthy of the Hall of Fame, Zach Martin or Andy Dalton?
Zach Martin!
Just making sure where your loyalties lie. Yeah. But...
Good job checking.
In other Andy Dalton news, are you prepared for the strongest statement you will ever hear from any team executive?
Yes.
I take you to the Bengals director of player personnel, Duke Tobin.
Cool name.
I can tell you one thing. What Andy Dalton's done for the Cincinnati Bengals is not something that we're going to forget, and we're not just going to go willy-nilly and make something happen with him that, A, he's uncomfortable with, and B, we're uncomfortable with. They're not going willy-nilly.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is it Willie Nelson?
We're not going Willie Nelson and go smoke some weed about it. So, Chiefs fans might be sweating just a little bit. Defensive tackle Chris Jones, calf injury, sat out another practice yesterday. However, the thought is that he is going to be just fine. Don't panic. He's going to be fine in time for the game and everything like that. So even though he's like not a practice, but like there's concern that the calf injury lingers. But everyone's like, come on, it's a Super Bowl. Like, you're going to be fine.
What do you mean?
Come on, he's going to play.
What, are they going to give me some Toradol?
I mean, sure.
Or what, are they going to give me other painkillers and stuff?
They will literally do whatever it takes to get you on the field next Sunday.
Well, what happens if I get injured in the middle of the game?
The big game.
Okay, you can say the Super Bowl. This is a segment, not a commercial.
Kevin, come on, dude.
He just had to dump you again.
The FCC is always listening, you know?
You did not.
So, but hold on. So, yes, man. There's no way you missed the freaking Super Bowl. Ever.
Remember who we interviewed in Radio Row? Like, that wasn't really a broken leg, and you found out he had a fractured leg. He's like, we taped it up.
Played in the Super Bowl. Put a split on it, and I ran in for touchdowns.
Now, earlier in the show...
Uphill both ways in the snow on the end zone.
Earlier in the show, we talked about one player to impeach from the NBA. Somebody goes, I know he's not in the NBA, but you know who's really annoying to me? J.J. Watt. I have terrible news for that one Tolo.
Yeah, I agree.
The day before the Super Bowl, J.J. Watt is going to host Saturday Night Live.
I don't have to watch.
Yeah, me neither.
Look, man, it's not everything Saturday Night Live does is funny. Okay?
No, most of it is not funny at all.
Yes.
I appreciate that, Shippy.
That's very true.
I am a Saturday Night Live fan.
I think the people who are Saturday Night Live fans are the ones who like grew up watching it when it was good, when you had all the good people on it.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I totally get that.
Like, and Will Ferrell, if he's on it, I'll watch.
I think that they occasionally get the right person to come in. I'm like, oh, I was kind of shocked by that. Or they get a good music act that I want to see. That's fine. But man, I don't care about J.J. Watt being on Saturday Night Live. I could just not watch that.
Let's talk about a couple of Patriots things.
You can't pay me enough to watch that.
I'll give you $15.
Still, not enough.
Ooh, $30.
Dude, I just said you can't pay me enough.
I'll give you $1,000.
All right, deal.
See, I knew you'd watch it.
Wait, how long is Saturday Night Live?
It's an hour and a half.
I just made $1,000 in almost less than 2 hours.
It's almost as much as you make here. So, did you see the amazing visor that Bill Belichick won to the Senior Bowl?
No.
He had his boat logo and 8 rings across. And
what?
But it was the Super Bowl, the VIII rings on his visor. So he's just nonchalantly reminding everyone who runs this place when he's interviewing with people. If I was Bill Belichick, I would sit down to interview a player and I wouldn't even ask a question.
What? You would just sit there and stare? What? Why? What good is that going to... Is it going to make him uncomfortable? Okay, never mind. I see what you're doing right now.
I'd ask him if we could share a hoodie.
is happening right now?
All right, I just wanted to prove my point about how that would make players uncomfortable. You want to see how they react under pressure? Just stare at them with your eight rings hat, and they'll freak out. All right, and other, yeah.
That's a lot of marriages.
You can do it, Fish. All right, so. Just kidding. All right. In not as cool Patriots news, the family for Odin Lloyd is reporting that they're being harassed in the wake of the Aaron Hernandez documentary. I learned an interesting thing about that documentary. Did you know?
I haven't finished the last episode yet. Don't spoil it.
Impact it one way or another. But did you know that Lloyd's family didn't actually participate in this documentary? All that footage that you see from any of them is repurposed from other places. So they make it seem like they're talking to his family, but that's all from other places. They wanted nothing to do with this.
Are you allowed to do that?
I guess
if you purchase the rights
to it. Yeah. And so now they said that they're being harassed because of all of this.
You're not allowed to do that.
Which is insane.
Who's harassing them?
Like people who love Aaron Hernandez.
The guy who killed somebody?
Yes, and probably Patriots fans. Yes, absolutely.
You're going to harass the family of the guy that got killed.
Yes.
Weird.
It is terrible. Here, I got a story that will cheer you up, though. Corey, first round, over under. How many NFL draft picks will fall in the water? Because the news came out that they're holding the NFL draft like on this weird platform thing and in front of the fountains of the Bellagio, and they're going to take the draft picks over there via boat, and then they're going to walk across this platform, and it all just seems disastrous.
All right. Yes. All right, here's my thing.
Mark that.
I'm super excited about this, but your question is over under on how many fallout.
Yeah.
My question is over under on how many jump in.
Oh.
I already know that a bunch are going to fall out of the boat. That's bound to happen. You get one of those clumsy offensive linemen up there and he has no balance and they're like, oh yeah, he was definitely a third rounder anyway. So that's going to happen. Well, it's going to be that one guy. I'm setting it at 1.5 because you're going to get the one guy that jumps in and nobody's going to want to copycat him after that. You know, nobody's going to be like, oh, he already did it.
I saw that Jeff and Broadus are recording Trust the Tape today. I want to know how many wild cards are in this draft that would actually consider doing that.
I think that there's at least one, at least two.
We need a Laramie Tunsil or whatever. They'll just throw the gas mask on. Let's go.
But yeah, man, this is super exciting to me because it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. It's going to take 48 hours for the first round to get done.
Yeah, so when you join us at Pluckers or whatever, it's going to take forever. A couple other coaching notes. Freddie Kitchens joining the Giants staff, and Jay Gruden has been hired officially as the Jaguars OC.
And college recruiter.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who's going to be the face of the NFL over the next 10 to 15 years? Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Kevin's been doing some reading, and that's weird because Kevin doesn't read very good. But
that's true.
The other thing, though, is that he found out the faces of the NFL over the last 10 to 15 years, Kevin, have been.
So this USA Today article was talking about like the changing of the guard in terms of who the faces of the NFL are. And they were like, yeah, you know, over the last 20 years, you've had your Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, that sounds about right. And, like, Peyton Manning's retired, Tom Brady's washed, Drew Brees is obviously winding down, Aaron Rodgers is washed, and then you have Russell Wilson. And, like, Russell Wilson is the one that could, like, move into the next generation. But I was kind of curious. Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. If you could tell me who the next face or faces of the NFL will be over the next 10 to 15 years, who do you think it would be? Because I feel like the one person that would be kind of a unanimous or mostly unanimous would be Pat Mahomes. You know, we'll find out more in this Super Bowl, especially if the Chiefs win. Then I don't think that there's anything stopping the Pat Mahomes juggernaut from just taking over the NFL. But if they lost, then, you know, we'll see.
Hold on. Can you give me the names again of the guys that they had on that list before, Kevin?
Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, Drew Brees,
LP Leducer,
Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson.
All of them are quarterback.
That is true.
And my thing there is the reason they're the face is because A, they get the ball all the time.
Yep.
Like it's just like pitchers. Pitchers and catchers are important. They're always touching the baseball. The point guard or whoever, Luka is the most important. He's the guy that makes the most plays. So the quarterback's it's going to be a quarterback. I don't think it's going to be a running back. And the reason being, those guys don't last that long. So I think that you're looking at quarterbacks only as being the face of every NFL franchise. That's one of the reasons, Kevin, that they get paid the most. Because not only do they represent their team, they represent the league.
You might think my list is flawed then, because I put together a list of five and only three of them are quarterbacks.
All right.
I put two other people on the list. So this is just potential. The two that I feel most comfortable with are Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
All right.
I think, you know what I would really like is if one of them left the AFC and then I could see them clash in the Super Bowl. I think that'd be pretty sweet. So I said those two, and then I said Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott makes a lot of sense because, you know, Tony Romo was, I feel like he was one of the faces of the league, and the Cowboys didn't particularly win a bunch then. He was a good quarterback, though, on
the
most
marquee. Did you just say he was a good quarterback?
God forbid.
He is a legend. Right. How dare you?
Yes, a legend who could never get past
the
division.
Cast that kind of shadow on his name.
Hey.
So.
Easy.
You know, but he was a good quarterback in the most marquee franchise in the NFL. And therefore, I think that Dak Prescott has got a shot.
No, absolutely.
To be one of the faces of the NFL.
Absolutely, he does. And I think with the new Mike McCarthy hire, that team's going to be more competitive than it ever has been. And that's one of the reasons, Kevin, that I put him on that list, too. Because it's only going to be the names that are going to be competitive in the playoffs. And if you're not, the reason that the receiver can't be the face of the face of the NFL is because the receiver really is predicated on what his quarterback does. You said it the other day, the numbers and it doesn't matter how many receptions Sammy Watkins has, how many touchdowns he has, because Pat Mahomes will get the MVP for it. And if you go look at the numbers, Kevin, it's Mahomes and Garoppolo, 100 plus 100 and plus 150. All right, that's what it is for their odds to win MVP. Beyond that, it's wild. And that's why the face of the NFL is going to be, because they have so much to do with the plays, it can't be those other guys. Short careers for running backs, defensive tackles don't get those
Sure, Aaron Donald should objectively be the face of the NFL.
Yes, he should. And safeties, cornerbacks, you have to, in this league, safeties and cornerbacks aren't really effective enough to do what, you know, to be that anymore. So it is the quarterback that's going to win the Super Bowl trophy. Here's my list.
Well, just real quick, because think about it. Peyton, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Wilson. They all won Super Bowls too, to your point about needing success in the playoffs.
Yeah, you have to win a Super Bowl. Or you have to be successful in the playoffs. And I think Mahomes.
Yep.
My problem is I have two guys on the list that I don't know if they will be able to win Super Bowls. I have Mahomes, I have Jackson, and I have Dak. I also have Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence.
Whoa.
Now, I know Shippy is all in on Drew Lock.
Damn right.
He is a Drew Lock fanatic.
But have you seen him rap?
Yeah.
Or lip
I have rap? Not.
What? Really?
No.
Oh, man. All right. I'm being in your DMs here in a second.
Oh, man. No. He's sliding into your DMs so hard. All right. But with Trevor Lawrence, like, it's been told that since high school, he is supposed to be the consensus overall number one pick whenever it's time for him to be drafted.
It feels like he's lived up to the hype.
He has lived up to the hype so far. And I can totally see the idea of him saying, I'm going to leave Clemson and go do this other thing. But, Kevin, I believe that Clemson's insurance policy is enough for him to stick around there and get all the benefits of being the quarterback at Clemson. So I don't think he's leaving to go to the XFL anytime soon. But I think he's going to go to the team. But my problem is, can he go be the savior of a team? Because Baker Mayfield hasn't saved the Cleveland Browns.
Nope.
Nobody can save the Cleveland Browns, honestly. But he's a face. Like, how many commercials do you see with Baker Mayfield? Every time you turn on the damn TV, there's Baker in your face.
Yeah, UFC. But when he's at a big fight, he's totally glossed over.
UFC trying to put that in check.
So, with Trevor Lawrence, I don't know where he'll land. Maybe the Chargers. I got in mind that he's going to end up as a Charger at some point. But he's going to be that guy because the NFL has seen him as a polished guy to push all the way up to the top. Joe Burrow is the coolest thing going right now.
Sure.
Is he going to go into category of Johnny Manziel where he's too cool and believes the hype? Or does he stick to the path of me and LSU are really good, I got to be this kind of quarterback? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I already see his path to superstardom. It's what you brought up yesterday, and what took over last night is that the Miami Dolphins covet Joe Burrow. And you know that I think Brian Flores is awesome. And so him with Joe Burrow, let's do this.
But that's going to screw things up with him. If they trade two or three draft picks to go get Joe Burrow, that's going to make him and his people around him say, hey, look at how valuable you are to this team. And he's going to turn into a Ryan Leaf type.
I don't think so, though, because the hype was always on Ryan Leaf. The hype has not always been on Joe Burrow. Isn't he like a fifth-year senior, or he's a senior? And like the hype was not on him going into the year. He had to transfer out. And immediately, what has happened along the way? During his Heisman Trophy speech, he shouted out his hometown and people not being able to eat or get the food and nutrition that they needed. And all this money came in for charity. He also said that his head coach needed to get a lifetime contract. This seems like a kid that, like, you know, maybe some of that humbleness will go away, but I don't think it's going to be level.
The cigar smoking, what's the hat that he has? The shirt that he's got out right now about, never mind.
I don't know. I guess I haven't seen that.
Yeah. There's a hat and shirt out there that people really like that I can't really talk about. It's Big Something Joe.
My goodness.
But the cigar and all that, that's just part of the extra part of winning. Like
he is a college kid. So yeah, I'm going to enjoy it. Live it up. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's my list, man. I think the talent is there for all five of those guys. And I know people are like, oh, y'all are homers for throwing Dak in there. It's no, you're the Cowboys quarterback. The NFL wants you to be the face of them. That's just the way that it is. The NFL will not actually, I don't even know if it's the NFL, the media. And not just locally, on Fox, on ESPN, on CBS, every NFL network, whatever it is, they will find a story about Dak Prescott every year to run, to discuss, to talk about. No matter what it is, they'll find something about Dak to put it out there. And you know what? Every year, his charity cause will be brought up too. And that's one of the other things the NFL loves to do and support. So, yes, Dak Prescott absolutely over this time, because he's going to get the contract from Jerry and Steven, and he's going to be the Cowboys quarterback for a while.
There's a really good one right here. I want to read a couple of them from the 972. Y'all are forgetting about Brady if he stays in New England, and then from the 512, Big Ben. That just won't translate much beyond the next few years, and so I'm looking bigger picture. What about from the 214, Deshaun Watson?
Man,
that's a great one.
His problem is they haven't won.
Yep.
They're there, but they got to win. And, you know, that's part of that. I would say people will be like, well, Dak hasn't won anything. That, again, doesn't matter. He's a Cowboys
quarterback. For whatever reason, the Cowboys defy all of the logic on this. I can't explain it. I'm sorry. I can't.
Oh, I can. Jerry Jones. There you go.
That's all there is to it?
Jerry Jones can hop on radio and say, get your damn act together, and it becomes a national story. You know,
that's true.
So because of what the Cowboys have built and what they are, anybody within the thing can become their brand and be that thing, that big of a deal. And so Deshaun Watson, the Texans just don't have that pizzazz that goes along with the circus that the Cowboys are. And that's why I love Deshaun Watson as a person, you know, and you don't get too much of him like you do with JJ Watt. And he does all the great things off the field. Plus on the field, he's a baller.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if he doesn't win, if he'll be able to do that. Now, if he continues to stay in that playoff, he might become a Phillip Rivers type. But you gotta go over the top to become the face.
Interesting. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You want to win some money?
I do.
All right. Well, you're ineligible. But all of the Tolos listening right now.
So everybody else gets to win.
Text GLITTER to 72881. Like Mariah Carey, like Gary. 72881 is the number. Text GLITTER, GLITTER, to 72881. Every single hour, every weekday, we got a different word for you. The word of the hour right now as part of our national contest is GLITTER. Send that to 72881. And coming up next, we will talk with our NBA insider, Rick Bucher. Where do the Mavs go from here? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.